basically, I think that I've lost faith in this country's ability to be a good world citizen.
The lesbian relationship between the two main characters, Shug and Seeley, may have been reduced to a single kiss on the screen, but the impact was still as widespread and startling.
Later for the president, later for society and the Constitution. Baby, won't you marry me?
Welcome to This Way Out, the International Gay and Lesbian Radio Magazine. I'm Greg Gordon. Courts deal binational partners a loss in Austria but a win in Colombia. A California couple seeks equality in Canada. And the color purple is but one hue in the life of Alice Walker. Those stories and a lot more this week now that you've discovered This Way Out.
I'm Christopher Gall.
And I'm Cindy Friedman.
With NewsWrap, a summary of some of the news in or affecting the lesbian and gay community for the week ending November 13th, 2004. The first legal same-gender marriage in the Canadian province of Saskatchewan was celebrated in Saskatoon this week. The first day after a judge changed the province's definition of marriage, Aaron Scriven and Lisa Stumborg were wed at St. Thomas Wesley United Church before about 70 people. Those guests were so enthusiastic that they called out, "We do," even before Reverend Margaret McKechnie had asked the couple the ritual question. McKechnie had already blessed a covenant between the couple in a ceremony a month earlier, but this time it was legal.
One lesbian couple who married in Canada are suing for recognition in their home country, Ireland. This week, a high court judge in Dublin agreed to allow their legal action to proceed, saying the case is of profound importance for same-sex couples and society as a whole. Catherine Zappone and Anne-Louise Gilligan are citing both the Irish Constitution and the European Convention in claiming discrimination by Ireland's taxation authorities. The case probably won't be heard for several months, but the ultimate ruling is likely to have broad ramifications.
But there won't be a hearing in an Austrian court for a binational German-American couple seeking recognition of their Netherlands marriage for immigration purposes. The U.S. partner, Lon Williams, was denied legal residence and a work permit in Austria, where his German partner had been offered a job. But Austria's constitutional court dismissed his complaint against immigration authorities, referring to a heterosexual definition of marriage and refusing to recognize European Union law providing for the free movement of spouses. The case has been referred to an Austrian administrative court, but the couple have chosen to remain together in the Netherlands. The Austrian gay and lesbian civil rights group Hosi Wien is appalled by the Constitutional Court's dismissal and believes the case should be heard by the European Court of Justice.
But a constitutional court in Colombia has issued a landmark decision granting permanent residency to the foreign same-gender partners of gay and lesbian Colombian citizens, the newspaper Caracol reported. A gay couple's initial request for a residency permit was refused on the grounds that only a man and woman who were legally married could qualify. But a court in Bogota declared the couple had a constitutional right to maintain a stable relationship, citing a constitutional provision for individuals' freedom to develop their own personality as well as due process requirements.
This week, a Scottish court dismissed a lesbian's lawsuit seeking damages from the drunk driver convicted of killing her partner. In denying Catriona Robertson's claim, the judge said the law applying in 1999, when Jill Telfer was killed, did not recognize them as relatives. However, the ruling noted the decision might have been different under more recent UK legislation, which incorporates European legal protections for gay and lesbian equality.
British gays and lesbians are a step closer to legal recognition of their relationships as the government's civil partnership bill passed its third reading in the House of Commons this week by a whopping 9-1 margin. While the opposition Conservative Party leader supports the measure, some of his party's members of parliament introduced the same kind of amendment considered to have wrecked the bill in the House of Lords, a move to expand civil partnerships beyond same-gender couples to include cohabiting family members and caregivers. The biggest problem with that is that the family members have relationships already defined in law. But unlike the House of Lords, the House of Commons voted down the expansion amendment by about 6-1. The bill to grant same-gender couples status equal to married spouses in areas including pensions, taxation, and property will now return to the House of Lords. Should Britain enact the partnership law, Scotland's government has indicated it will quickly adopt it.
Marriage equality was a key demand of more than 2,000 lesbian, gay, and transgender marchers in this week's Taiwan Gay, Lesbian, Bisexual, and Transgender Pride Parade. Taiwan's government did introduce a bill to that effect last year, but it's languishing in the parliament. Some marchers also protested the January police raid on a gay bar that resulted not only in repeated network television broadcasts showing 92 patrons in their underwear, but also in the public revelation that 30% of them were HIV positive. But the march through Taipei was primarily a colorful street party, even though the capital city's government did not extend the financial support it has in past years.
Peru's constitutional court has struck down a ban on homosexual acts by military service members. The military had proscribed all such activity, even by off-duty service members off-site, punishing it with expulsion or prison terms. But the constitutional court has found those rules to be completely discriminatory and struck them down, Agence France-Presse reports. German military officials recently agreed to apply the same rules to their service members' homosexual acts as to heterosexual ones, which allow for sex on military bases between off-duty service members.
Spanish men jailed under the sodomy laws of dictator Francisco Franco may soon receive compensation from their government. The Association of Ex-Social Prisoners of Franco won pledges of support for the move from all the political parties in the Spanish parliament. Spain's new socialist government has already established a commission to investigate the Franco regime's abuses towards compensating their victims. It's believed that thousands of gay men were jailed during the 36 years Franco ruled and the 4 years following his death before sodomy repeal in 1979.
Bermuda's 1994 sodomy repeal was hotly contested, but now its government is prepared to take the next step. Community Affairs Minister Dale Butler announced last week that it will be introducing legislation in the coming year to protect the housing and employment rights of gays and lesbians. That amendment to make sexual orientation a category protected under Bermuda's Human Rights Act was not a part of the legislative agenda put forth in the formal throne speech just a few days before, but Butler claimed that omission was accidental.
The United States' first openly gay governor gave his farewell address this week. Driven by the threat of a sexual harassment lawsuit, New Jersey Democrat James McGreevy announced in mid-August both his orientation and his resignation, effective November 15th. The wife who stood by him on that occasion was notably absent on this one. In his 15-minute speech, he said that since his coming out, he had been simply overwhelmed by the extraordinary manifestations of unconditional love, compassion, and concern from his constituents. He apologized for what he called mistakes in my judgment that made this day necessary, and for the pain, upheaval, and breach of trust he brought to those close to him and to the state. But he continued, "To be clear, I am not apologizing for being a gay American, but rather for having let personal feelings impact my decision-making and for not having had the courage to be open about whom I was." He reviewed some of his accomplishments in office, including the statement, "We helped to bring more decency and equality to our state, flying in the face of national trends with our new law to honor committed domestic partnerships with respect, rights, and benefits." Later, he returned to the personal, saying, "I begin my own new journey as an American who just happens to be gay and proud. I don't look back with bitterness, anger, or sorrow. I look forward to seeking knowledge, a journey of self-discovery, and finding ways to contribute my gifts to those to whom they could be helpful." Some lesbian gay civil rights groups have already contacted McGreevy in the hope that he'll become a spokesperson for equality.
And finally, there's a serious challenge to the key piece of evidence for the many who claim that marriage equality activism led to U.S. President George W. Bush's re-election. It's an exit poll in which more than a fifth of voters said the most important element in their choice was moral values. That made moral values the most popular response, and among those moral values voters, some four-fifths supported Bush. But a post-election survey by Pew Research Center suggests the responses had a lot to do with how the question was asked. Moral values was one of seven options in a multiple-choice format in the exit polling conducted by Edison Media Research and Mitofsky International. But when Pew posed voters an open-ended question, moral values responses fell to less than 10%. Instead of leading, moral values fell to a third-place tie with terrorism, as three times as many voters cited the war in Iraq and about half again as many cited the economy. Even among Pew's moral values respondents, only about 40% said those values included such social issues as marriage for same-gender couples and abortion. To many, it represented personal qualities of the candidates, charity, and religion. As Pew's director, Andrew Kohut, told the Associated Press, "We did not see any indication that social conservative issues like abortion, gay rights, and stem cell research were anywhere near as important as the economy and Iraq." Moral values is a phrase that's very attractive to people. Or as Washington Post columnist Howard Kurtzman put it, how many are willing to tell pollsters that moral values aren't important? Although the exit poll queried more than 10 times as many people as the 1,200 Pew surveyed, some leading poll analysts agree that far too much has been made of the exit poll's moral values finding. And U.S. News & World Report's Roger Simon made the rarely mentioned point that the whole moral values hoopla has been based on the same exit poll that made it appear that Senator John Kerry would win.
That's News Wrap for the week ending November 13th, 2004, written by Cindy Friedman and recorded at the studios of KPFK Los Angeles.
Follow the news in your area. An informed community is a strong community. For This Way Out, I'm Cindy Friedman.
And I'm Christopher Gall.
The November 2nd elections have generated greater resolve among many in the U.S. queer community to continue the fight for civil rights, but some are considering other options. You'll hear about one couple's quest for equality later in the program. The Color Purple forever endeared its author Alice Walker to the queer community. This Way Out correspondent Janet Mason reviews a thoroughly new biography of the complex writer.
Alice Walker, born in the segregated South to sharecropper parents, is a prism through which the painful history of this country can be observed. Alice Walker has always defied categorization in her life and writing, including her epistolary The Color Purple and her creation of the terms womanist and homospiritual to define her relationship to feminism and to bisexuality. It is to journalist Evelyn C. White's credit that she was able to go beyond putting together the pieces through interviews and observations of Alice Walker's life in this first major biography titled simply Alice Walker, A Life, from Norton. The story of Alice Walker starts in 1944 when she was born in Eatonton, Georgia, deep in the Jim Crow South. A notable force in young Alice's life was her formidable and steadfast mother, who insisted that her children, Alice was the youngest of eight, receive an education and not be sent out to work in the cotton fields as was expected. Despite formidable obstacles, the young Alice proved herself to be brilliant and before long was receiving scholarships to first Spelman College and then Sarah Lawrence College. Alice found mentors along the way. The radical historian Howard Zinn was her professor at Spelman, and Muriel Rukeyser, the legendary poet who during her own lifetime was underrecognized, at Sarah Lawrence. After graduation, Alice received a grant to go abroad but decided instead to return to the South as a civil rights worker. Alice lived in Mississippi with her husband, Jewish civil rights lawyer Melvin Leventhal. In this period of her life, on which her second novel, Meridian, published in 1967, was based, Alice enlarged society's definition of love through her interracial marriage. Alice and Mel, who gave birth to Rebecca Walker, a self-described movement baby, in 1967, took fire from all sides. In 1979, The Color Purple was published and subsequently was made into a movie in 1984. The lesbian relationship between the two main characters, Shug and Celie, may have been reduced to a single kiss on the screen, but the impact was still as widespread and startling. Another major contribution that Walker made was her rediscovering of Zora Neale Hurston, including her act of placing a headstone on Hurston's unmarked grave and her writing of essays that brought Hurston's writing back to prominence. In the foreword of Zora Neale Hurston, a literary biography, written by Robert Hemingway and published in 1977, Alice writes, "We are a people. A people do not throw their geniuses away, and if they are thrown away, it is our duty as artists and as witnesses for the future to collect them again for the sake of our children, and if necessary, bone by bone." This compelling biography brings us the sources and inspirations of Alice Walker, a lofty writer and brilliant force of our era, while detailing the ups and downs of Alice Walker, the human being with clay feet. Those looking for the dirt will find it here. Alice's feuds with mentors Muriel Rukeyser and Tilly Olson, the complexities of her first marriage and her subsequent long-term partnership with the writer Robert Allen. The biography also gives, although in far fewer pages, an account of Alice Walker's relationships with a well-known but fiercely private Tracy Chapman, her other female lovers, and a subsequent male partner. And while this reader, in particular, would love to be able to read in detail the influence that Alice's female partners have had on her life and work, it's also true that some things might be better left to the imagination. This is Janet Mason for This Way Out.
Some This Way Out operating expenses are funded through direct charitable donations from our listeners, and we thank you. To find out how you can help keep This Way Out on the air and get some queer audio history and timeless music in the bargain, or for audio cassette subscription information, please visit our website at thiswayout.org, email us at tworadio@aol.com, or write to us at Post Office Box 38327, Los Angeles, California, 90038, USA. Thanks to Alternabid and the Stonewall Society, you can still bid on some terrific items in an online auction to benefit This Way Out. Look for the This Way Out auction area at alternabid.com.
Immigration websites around the world continue to see more and more U.S. visitors following the November 2nd elections. Sites in Canada, Australia, and New Zealand in particular are experiencing a sharp increase in traffic from U.S. citizens looking for a new home or simply beginning to think about what to do next. This Way Out correspondent Jim Williams found one such couple in California who reluctantly already charted a course for greener pastures.
I'm Lucy Little. I live in San Diego, and I'm planning to emigrate to Canada. It would be nice to just be a regular citizen, to not be constantly told that we're not quite real. We're not as legitimate as other people, that our values are not valued.
My name is Justina Hayden. I live with Lucy in San Diego. She's an artist, and for many years now, because we don't have ordinary jobs, she's been unable to get any health insurance. If we can get Canadian citizenship, permanent residency, it will cost us $96 a month for the two of us to have health care. And that's the way it ought to be.
About, 9 months ago, Justina showed me a copy of an International Living magazine, and I forget what she said, but basically what she meant was, "I'm shopping for a new country. Want to take a look at this?" And I'm like, "What?" And, you know, we had many, many conversations over breakfast, conversations over dinner. And basically, I think that I've lost faith in this country's ability to be a good world citizen. The Canadian people, they are so similar to Americans in a lot of ways, and so radically different in all the right ways. Canadians are a little bit more willing to acknowledge past mistakes, say they're sorry, make what reparations they can, and move on in a more tolerant manner than America.
We've lived together for 20 years. We really love each other. And last February, we went to San Francisco and got married, and it was a magical day. In June, we marched in the San Diego Gay Pride Parade, holding a sign that said, "Just married after 19 years. And the effect on the people on the sides of the street was incredible. Everyone was shouting and cheering and saying, "Yeah, way to go." And then in August, of course, the state Supreme Court annulled those marriages.
18 years ago, Justina said, "You know, let's get married." And I'm like, "But we can't just go down to City Hall and get really married." And so we never talked about it again. But after we got married, it was such a euphoric feeling. And then when it was annulled, I mean, I knew it was going to be annulled. Other people were in tears that day, but I just, you know, I was like, "Oh, well, yes, they annulled it." And about 3 days later, I felt this just a kick in the chest, and I was just so sad. Society was saying that our relationship wasn't real. And, you know, we've been together for 20 years. We've done everything that a family does. You know, we've worked in our community. We've helped friends and neighbors, helped our kids through the problems in their marriages and child rearing. And to feel so discounted by our culture, it really just all hit me. How do we ever expect to be a great nation when we write off a larger and larger percentage of our population as unworthy? It just makes me so sad to see America going in this direction. And I think there's hope, but I'm not sure if I have the strength to endure it.
Most of the people in the exit polls who voted Republican said that moral values were the reason they voted the way they did. I will never understand why they feel that we are immoral. I mean, we live as moral a life, as loving a life, as caring for other people, as being our best to be Christ-like as any two people I know. So how are we immoral? What we are is good citizens, and I want to be treated like a good citizen. I don't feel this sense that there is a way for this country to come together in the middle. It's like there's no middle left. I want to go to Canada, and I am excited about that because I think there's a middle there, and I want to be a part of the middle. It really, for me, it comes down to being accepted and a part of the community, having health care, being married, having rights, and the bittersweet is there. I'm very sad that I can't be here and be that way.
I think of the Statue of Liberty. I'm surprised the French haven't taken it back. And, you know, to go to the Statue of Liberty, to go to Ellis Island, and then to see the hate and fear of foreigners. And it's not just in America. I mean, it happens in other places too. But we should be better than that. I thought we were better than that. We could be better than that.
Lucy Little and Justina Hayden plan to move from San Diego to Vancouver, British Columbia in March. Our thanks to independent producer Jim Williams in Santa Fe, New Mexico, for bringing us their story.
Later for the president, later for society and the Constitution. Baby, won't you marry me? Later for the politics, religious folks and hypocrites. Loving you is all I need. Baby, won't you marry me?
Now I'll be damned if I have to hesitate on saying I do, because the public won't acknowledge my love for you. They ain't slanging no checks from under this roof right here. You don't hear me though, I promise you to do the best I can. I'm on both knees asking you to be your man. I'm talking wedding dance, diamond rings and things that link. A ceremony held that it goes a long way. Because I
know it's you,
one really wanna give my life to,
the one I wanna give my life.
love it. Showing you that my love is true. So later for the president, later for society and the constitution. Baby, won't you marry me? Later for the politics, religious folks and hypocrites. Loving you is all I need. Baby, won't you marry me?
Now a little minute, folks don't understand. To tell the truth, I could really give less than a dime. And any relative that ain't relative to us will object to a union and invitation. No matter, as long as we got the rings and best man, true family and good friends. Oh yeah, and one more correction. You won't be my lover anymore. You'll be my husband, a wife.
I know it's you.
One thing I wanna give my life to you. Yeah.
The one I wanna give my life to. So please say I do. Let me spend the rest of life showing you that my love is true. So later for the president, later for society and the constitution. Baby, won't you marry me? Later for the politics, religious folks and hypocrites. Loving you is all I need. Baby, won't you marry me?
Thanks for choosing This Way Out, the International Lesbian and Gay Radio Magazine. This week, Cindy Friedman, Christopher Gall, Graham Underhill, Rex Walkner, Janet Mason, and Jim Williams contributed program material. Thanks also to J.D. Doyle. Clairvoyance performed some of the music you heard. Tori Fix sang Marry Me. And Kim Wilson composed and performed our theme music. Remember, you can listen to This Way Out anytime online, exclusively on Planet Out. There's a link at our website, www.thiswayout.org. Some This Way Out operating expenses are funded by tax-deductible charitable donations from our listeners, and we thank you. Only our listeners can help keep this program on the air and get some queer history, music, and culture on specially produced CDs. For all the details, please do log on to thiswayout.org or write to us at Post Office Box 38327, Los Angeles, California, 90038, USA. For Associate Producer Lucia Chappell and everyone at This Way Out, I'm Greg Gordon. Thanks for listening on CJSF Burnaby, British Columbia, KMUD&E, Garberville and Eureka, California, WSUI, Iowa City, Iowa, and more than 150 other stations around the world, including this community radio station. Do stay tuned.